Let's stand together, number 53, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let's stand this morning and worship the Lord together, number 53. I'm sorry about that. Let's just change the songs real quick. Number 55, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Let's turn there. Sometimes I pick a song and I don't realize it has a different melody than we're used to. Number 55, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Let's sing it together.
There have been things that I have loved to keep, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Hark the herald angels sing. Let's stand this morning as we sing number 83, Glory to the Newborn King. Amen. Good singing. We're glad you're here. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Pastor McDonald, you come and lead us.
Welcome to our morning service here at Bethel Baptist Church today. We have a good service prepared for you today, and I hope you're excited about being in the house of the Lord. In just about 5 minutes, I'm going to do cartwheels across the front. That's how excited I am. But you got to be careful, and you got to watch carefully, because I do it real quick. Okay? I don't want you to miss that. Birthdays this week, Jane Felder has a birthday today, Amber Helmer has one on Tuesday, and Anastasia Pathy has a birthday on Wednesday. As far as anniversaries go, I've got Jerry and Marie Claver have an anniversary this Wednesday, and also John and Barb Kirkwood have one on Saturday, but they don't know it yet. I asked them, I said, don't you have an anniversary coming up? And they looked at each other, do we? You know, the honeymoon is over, isn't it? It's like, yeah. But you bought a new van, right? That's all that matters. Okay, amen. Amen. God bless you, and be sure to congratulate everyone on these milestones in their lives. At this time, I have Brother Gerald, if you pray for this morning's offering.
dismiss the young people to junior church. How many young people here are happy that God loves them? Could you raise your hand? You're happy? All right. Put them right down. Now, how many could tell me, give me one reason why you're so happy God loves you? Yes.
Say it.
God saved me.
God saved you. I can't say it any better than that. And did he do anything else? Yes?
He makes me happy.
He makes you happy. I'm glad that you find your happiness in the Lord. That's great. Okay, let's do one more. I got you over here.
I like God.
It's not okay. All right. I have a new appreciation for Mr. Baker. And our children, I tell you, out of the mouth of babes, that's right, God saves us. It's God's our joy, isn't he? He's where we get our happiness from. Not just because we get toys or because people do good things to us, because the Lord's with us at all times. He's always there, always good, always loves us, and we can always be joyful in our hearts. So that's a good news. So at this time, I'm going to dismiss the children. I'm going to pray first. Now, I got to remember what Mr. Baker does. He prays, and then what's he do? Does he let you just run out? You stampede out of the doors? Is that what you do? That's not what you do. No, you don't do it that way. We'll do it in an orderly fashion. All right? So let's all close our eyes, bow our heads, and we're going to pray for our dismissal. Heavenly Father, I thank you again so much for the young people you've given us, Lord. Help us to realize that these are just gifts from you, presents from you, Lord. And these are souls that we have an influence on. And we just thank you for that privilege to be in your service in that way. I just pray for each young boy and girl today that they'll get a blessing as they hear the stories about Jesus Christ and how much he loves them and what he has done for them. And Father, I just pray that there will be those today even that will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they'll have that eternal joy in their lives. We ask this now, and that you also be with the workers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in an orderly fashion, follow your workers out.
Amen. Let's stand again as we sing this morning, 174. 174, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Cleanse me. Young people, you are dismissed. 174, let's sing together.
Search me.
Amen. You may be seated.
I know I have failed you, Lord, time and again. But each time you've always stayed true. And that's why I kneel at the cross once again and ask to draw closer to you, closer to you, Lord, closer, I pray. Help me draw closer to your will today. It doesn't matter what others may do, I just want to draw closer to you. Lord, I surrender all that I have, for whatever you'd have me to do, I have faith in your promise. I know you will show the way to draw closer to you, closer to you, Lord, closer. Closer to your will today. It doesn't matter what others may do, I just want to draw closer to you. It doesn't matter what others may do, I just want to go closer to you.
Now let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Matthew chapter 1. Well, on our second message in A Journey to Bethlehem, we're going to talk this morning about Joseph's dream. Joseph's dream, Matthew chapter 1. Before we get to our message today, we want to mention that we have purchased a van to pick up children in the church, and the Lord blessed us last year, and we voted as a church to get a vehicle, and then somebody else also donated money to get another vehicle, and so we've been waiting and for the right time, and the Lord has allowed us to purchase a nice van. If you would like for your class to use that for an activity, please just coordinate that with our office and make sure you have a driver. And to drive the van, you do have to have a bus license now. That's the law. Anything over 10 passengers. And so it's unfortunate, but we do have some drivers that are willing to help with those activities. Let me also say this. We are in need. And I say this because Jesus has been praying this for 2,000 years for laborers. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. And the fields are white, ready to harvest, but we need workers. And what in specific we need is we need some adults to work on buses. Our teens do a good job, but they have a struggle sometimes when kids are climbing over seats and jumping around. They're kids too, and so it's difficult for them to try to rein them in. We need some adults. It'd be nice to have some couples, husband and wife teams, to go on some of our buses so our drivers can concentrate on driving and work with the kids and help them mind. And so if you would pray about that, I'm not asking you to make a decision, I'm asking you to pray about that. Because when you pray, then God changes your mind, all right? That's how that usually works. And so start praying about that, and if the Lord would lay upon your heart that you could help in some way. Some people are just of the mind, well, I just want to be a servant, so wherever I need to go, I'll go, and you'll raise your hand. And that's a great attitude, but we need some adults on the buses, and we struggle on some weeks, especially if even one person's away, we struggle in filling those roles. And so we really need your help on the buses, bringing in these young people to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you heard today, that young man right down here is in my master club and said that he's glad that Jesus saved him.
Well, that doesn't happen if we don't go out and bring them into church and tell them about Jesus. And so pray about that. That's an important ministry, and we need your help. All right, Matthew chapter 1. Last week we read those genealogies, and I know that that's not an exciting read, but we found that there was a lot of people that God used to bring him much glory. This morning I want to look at verses 18 through 25. We're going to look a little bit at Joseph's dream, but more in particular, three life lessons we can learn from Joseph. We don't hear a lot about Joseph in the Bible. We hear about him in Matthew chapter 1. We read about him in Luke chapter 2. And then later in Luke chapter 2, he's referred to as Jesus when about his parents when he's 12 years old, his parents supposing him to be in the company. But we don't hear a lot about Joseph. At the end of Jesus' life, we hear a little bit more about Mary, but we don't hear anything about Joseph at that time. It is assumed that he has passed away. But in Matthew chapter 1, we read a great deal. And Matthew in particular is the genealogy of Jesus Christ through the throne of David. And that's why Joseph is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, we read about the angel coming to Joseph, but we don't read about him coming to Mary until Luke chapter 3. This is not a chronology of events. Luke chapter 2 happened before Matthew chapter 1. The angel came to Mary first before she conceived. In Matthew chapter 3, we find that she's already with, or Matthew chapter 1, she's already with child. And so it's not a chronology of events. This has to do with the throne of David. And so Joseph is mentioned. Now verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we are thankful today that we can be called the children of God. And we know it's all because of this little baby named Jesus. Because he was raised with one purpose in mind, that he would give himself to die and pay the price for the sins of the entire world. Father, all that would come to Jesus today can be saved. They can trust in him and have eternal life. But Lord, there's so many lost in darkness, believing and trusting in works, trusting in religion, when they just need to simply trust in the Savior. So Father, this Christmas season, may we be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in telling others the reason for the season. Father, help us in this time in your word this morning. May the Spirit of God teach each one of us and fill me, I pray. I surrender to you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine the scene with me? I don't know where Joseph is when this is taking place, but it is my assumption he's lying in bed at night. That's what I picture. Have you ever had a sleepless night? You ever received some news that perhaps confused you or perplexed you? Well, maybe Joseph is lying in bed at night and he's thinking, Lord, what do I do? The Bible says he was a just man. He was not willing to make her a public example. He minded to put her away privily. And so he's laying there in bed and he's thinking on what I should do and what is the best course. An angel appears. He says, Joseph. He says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm guessing, and I don't know this to be the gospel fact, but I'm guessing that Mary is already about 3 months pregnant when Joseph finds out. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 24, that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. The angel had appeared unto Mary and told her about her conception and how she would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And immediately she got up and arose and went with haste to see her cousin Elizabeth. It was in the sixth month of carrying John the Baptist. And the Bible says when Mary walked in the room, that babe leaped in her womb. There was an excitement. And about 3 months later, just before Elizabeth gave birth, the Bible says that Mary returned and went home. We assume it is about this time that Joseph received the news and he's perplexed and he's wondering, what will I do? And the angel appeared and told him what he should do. In this passage of Scripture, I saw something that I've never seen before. And it may not be a huge blessing to you. I don't know. I hope that it is, but it sure helped me this week. And I want you to see three life lessons that we can see in the life of Joseph and his reaction. The first life lesson is this: self-deprecation. Don't think too highly of yourself. Some people get so worked up so easy about things, and somebody will tease them a little bit, poke a little fun, and they'll get angry and walk away. Notice what Joseph was going through in verse 20. In verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I want you to know something about this situation. If you don't mind, I'm going to come down here a bit. I'm getting a back scratch as I preach. Joseph had just received some life-changing news, didn't he? This little girl that he was in love with had cheated on him. They say, wait a minute, that's not what the scripture says. Why do you think he was wanting to divorce her? Put her away privily. The Bible says he was not willing to make her a public example. That means that he wasn't willing to take her out and stone her publicly for her sin. He was showing mercy. But he was going to divorce her. His life had been just turned upside down. I mean, this was a girl. It was one thing if she found out she was with child, but he knew he wasn't the father. Something was amiss. And as he's laying in bed that night, tossing and turning and thinking, what shall I do? I want you to notice in verse 19 something very important. The Bible says he was not willing to make her a public example, and he would put her away privily, which means quietly and discreetly. Can I show you something about Joseph that I think shows a strong character? He wasn't once concerned about his own reputation. He was concerned about Mary. Boy, isn't that a great principle for us to learn? He wasn't worried about what everybody was going to think about me. There's not once in the scripture that we read that Joseph says, what are my friends going to think of me? I'm going to be the laughingstock because this girl has gone out and committed this incredible sin against me. He never once concerns himself with it. He says, how can I help Mary? What can I do? The law says I have to stone her. I have to take her out. No, I can't do that. It's within my rights, but I'm not going to exercise those rights. I'm going to show mercy. I have no choice but to divorce her. I have to put her away, but I'm going to do it privily. I don't want to embarrass her. I love her. You know, we ought to start thinking about that in our lives more. That's a great character trait to exhibit, that we would put the needs of others before our own. That we'd be more self-deprecating. Sometimes we have so much pride that we're worried about everything that happens. Have you ever gone home and somebody has said something to you and you go, well, I wonder what they meant by that? Maybe they meant exactly what they said. There's some people get upset, you know. You say, hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. What do they mean by that? They think I got a problem? No, it just means they love you and they're praying for you. Aren't we supposed to do that? Aren't we supposed to encourage one another? We pick up the phone and we say, hey, I just wanted you to know I've been thinking about you today and I want you to have a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas. And what do they think they meant by that? They think I'm sitting around here depressed all the time? Well, that's what pride will do. Joseph wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about the needs of Mary. Listen to this. Your reputation is important. That is how others see you, but your testimony is far more important because that's how people see Christ through you. We ought to be concerned more about our testimony than our reputation. Jesus, the Bible says, made himself of no reputation. He didn't care what people thought about him. He was here to bring glory to the Father. So he humbled himself. His people mocked him and spit on him. He said, if you be the Son of God, you come down from that cross. He wasn't worried about what people thought about him. What do they think of my Father? How can I accomplish God's will? I wonder today how many of us have ever, in some point in our life, damaged our testimony in an attempt to defend our reputation. Sometimes we get so angry and think, well, I'll set them straight. I'll tell them the truth. I'll get the facts out to them. And in the process, in our anger and in our pride, we've just destroyed our testimony. Which is more important? We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Here's the best way to defend your reputation. Simply live a godly and a consistent life. That's it. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to run around saying, well, you don't understand. This is what really... Just live a consistent godly life. Let God take care of the consequences. People, listen, if folks are going to gossip about you and talk about you, that's going to happen anyway. The Bible says offenses must come, but woe unto them by whom the offenses come. We don't have to be worried about us. Worry about the one that's causing the problem. Pray for them. Uphold them before God, because God, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God will take care of them. Just live a godly and a consistent life. The Bible simply says this about Joseph. He was a just man. Can you imagine? Here is the earthly father of our Savior. The Bible doesn't say very much about him, but what I will take home today and what I will remember about Joseph is that he was a just man. Ask yourselves the following questions this morning and say, am I self-deprecating? Am I worried about my own reputation more than the reputation of others, more than my testimony for Jesus Christ? Here's three questions you can ask yourself. First of all, do I get offended easily? Do I get offended easily? Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. I was with a fellow one time, and he just actually passed away about a week ago, I heard. And this fellow prided himself on being a fighter. I'm going to be honest with you. He was about 5'4" and about 130 pounds soaking wet. And you wouldn't have to fight him, just sit on him. I mean, he's just a little guy. But he just thought, and he would carry, you know those guys that got their arms all like this when they walk. And he needed a ride somewhere, and I said, okay, I'll take you. And he was going to get a Christmas gift for his daughter, and we were in the mall, and we were walking through, and there was a fellow there, and he saw him with me, and he stopped to talk to him. He said, well, I heard you're going back to church. And exactly what I just said, what was that supposed to mean? He was ready for a fight. Are you really offended that easily? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Don't get all worked up about what people say. God will take care of that. Do you know that you're God's kid? You're a child of the King? God will take care of you. Don't you worry about what others... Do I get offended easily? Here's the second question. Is it more important what people think of me or what they think of Jesus? Boy, that would govern our behavior in a lot of ways, wouldn't it? We're in the workplace and we're wondering about what people... Listen, is it more important people... You ought to work... Not for your reputation, because you reflect Jesus Christ in the workplace. You ought to be the hardest worker there. People ought to look at you and say, I wonder why that guy works so hard. A friend of mine used to work at National Steel Car in Hamilton. I don't know if you know where that is, but they build train cars. I think Daniel worked there for a short time, didn't you, Daniel? When he first got his welding ticket. And he went there, and He was working there, and they had this quota. They said, well, you need to do 3.5 train cars a day. I don't know if it was the same when you were there or not, but they had to complete, and they had teams, and they had to do 3.5 train cars a day. All these welders worked together, and they put them all together. The parts were already there, and they weld them all together. Well, this guy, the problem was he got saved. And he knew they could easily put 5 or 6 together a day. And so after he got saved, he started working harder, and he was putting them together, and he'd keep going, and he'd just work hard. And even though he was the only one, they still, instead of 3.5, got to 4.5. And he thought, boy, if everybody worked hard, we'd do 6 a day easily. But you're depending on a team. After about 3 weeks of that, they were doing 4.5. The boss, one of the guys on the crew, came to him, the manager of the crew, and he said, listen, you need to slow down. He says, what do you mean slow down? He says, you're making the rest of us look bad. Now that we're doing 4.5 a day, the management wants 4.5 a day. They're expecting more out of us. He ended up having to resign and went and started his own welding shop. They say, why? Well, because those guys wanted him to lessen his testimony for Jesus Christ. Hey, we ought to be the hardest worker in the place. People ought to look at us, and as a reflection of Jesus Christ, is more important what people think of me or what they think of Jesus. Jesus made himself of no reputation that he might bring glory to the Father and exercise the will of God. Do you know this? It is almost impossible to tell others about Jesus if you're worried about what they'll think of you. What is more important, how they think of you or what they think of Jesus? Here's the third question. Do I seek glory, or do I wish to bring glory to God? Do I seek glory, or do I wish to bring glory to God? Matthew 5:16, I've already quoted to you, but I'll say it again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added to you. The priority is that we are seek first the kingdom of God. We are to bring glory to God in all that we do. That is self-deprecation. Life lesson number two. Life lesson number two is surrender. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. I want to draw your attention particularly to the first word of each verse. The Bible says in verse 19, then, in verse 20 it says what? But. Then, but. In other words, there's a change of direction about to take place. Something is about to happen that will drastically change the direction of what is going on in Joseph's heart. The Bible says, then Joseph, he had some thoughts. He had some ideas of what should happen. Now, the word just means this: righteous, upright, virtuous, innocent, faultless, guiltless, approved, and accepted of God. Often a word used for Jesus, the just one. That's what the word just means. It's incredible to me that any human could be attributed that word when we call Jesus the just one. To think that we would have the privilege of having that title attached to our name, but Joseph was called a just man. And here was this just man lying in his bed at night thinking, what should I do? Well, the law permits that I can take her out and stone her, but no, I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to extend mercy unto Mary. We know that he loved her and he wanted to show mercy to her, but he was a just man. This just man secondly thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and divorce her. The law provided for that, almost required it in the case of adultery. He was minded to put her away privily. That means he was thinking about, I have to divorce her and I've got to make it quiet and I don't want anybody to know about it. But can I tell you this morning? That this just man, this righteous man, well, let me ask you, how many of you agree that Joseph was a godly fella? Do you think that God is going to trust his son to just anybody? I mean, he was going to be the human father of Jesus. He was going to be the one that would teach him a lot of things in his life, that would walk beside, would be entrusted with his protection. God had to know it would be somebody that would listen to the Holy Spirit. How many times do we see the angel coming to Joseph and saying, hey, get up and go to Egypt. Hey, it's safe to come back into Israel. He had to have somebody that was in tune with him. Joseph was a godly man, but as godly as Joseph was, and as the Bible describes him as just, he still wasn't able to grasp the will of God. Joseph's mind is listed in verse 19, but the will of God is listed in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, as Joseph lists the things that he is thinking of in verse 19, where does it say one of his options was to take her as his wife? Nowhere. Here's a great principle for us today, folks. It does not matter how godly you are. Until you surrender to the will of God, you are not in the will of God. Had Joseph divorced Mary? Now, when I say divorce, you understand they were not yet legally married, but they were espoused one to another. The Jewish wedding tradition is an incredible thing, and they would do a spousal contract, and from that day forward, the betrothed would go and he would build a home. And when the home was complete, his father would inspect it. And he would say to his son, it's ready. And when that chamber was ready, that bridal chamber was ready, he would go with his groomsmen and he would blow a trumpet and he would say, the bridegroom cometh. Come ye out to meet him. It is a perfect picture of the return of Christ. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we know at the last trumpet, Jesus will return to receive unto us his own when that place is all ready. God has given us that great picture. But Joseph, was he spoused to her and he was preparing a place for her? But it wasn't in his mind to take her as a wife anymore. He was a just man. And he was trying to figure out a bad situation. He was trying to apply his wisdom and trying to figure out, what should I do? The Bible says while he was minding on these things, he was minded to put her away. He was thinking on them. The angel came and said, here is God's will. Can I suggest to you something this morning? This kind of goes with being self-deprecating, being humble. Surrender is much the same. In all of our wisdom, I don't know if you've been saved 40, 50, 60, 70 years. In all of the wisdom that God has given you, it's still not perfect. And we still must wait upon the Lord to hear his voice. Prayer is so important. That we go to him and we seek him out. And there have been struggles in this life, and there are struggles in the ministry, and there's things that there's times where I think and I think and I think, and I stay up nights and I toss and turn in bed and I lay there and think. And I finally just have to go, Lord, I can't figure it out. I've been pastoring 20 years and I don't know the answer. Lord, you're just going to have to take care of this one. And you know what? He does a lot better job than I ever could. He just takes care of it. And God says to Joseph, just take her to be your wife. These other options, those are your wisdom. Why don't you just take her to be your wife? He had to learn to surrender. Once Joseph obeyed in these things, I mean, God's will was evident, wasn't it? Right down to the name of the child. He says, you're going to have a child. You're going to call him Jesus. I want you to take her to be thy wife. But you know what? Later on, it saved his life. Joseph, get thee up and go to Egypt. And they waited there till Herod and those that wanted him dead had died. He says, now you can come back. We must listen to the word of God. Surrender. Here's the third life lesson. Sacrifice. Verse 20, he says, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Why do you suppose in verse 19, Joseph was resting upon his own wisdom? It was because he feared to take Mary to be his wife. He was afraid of what others may think. He was afraid of violating God's law. He was afraid of so many things. But in order to take Mary to be his wife, he would have to sacrifice. From that moment, his life would never be the same. Taking Mary as his wife would mean he would not see his family for several years. The Bible says the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so Joseph took Mary as a spouse or his wife by that time and took her to Bethlehem, the house of his lineage. And while they were there, she was delivered. She had her child. But almost 2 years later, when the wise men came, they were still in Bethlehem. They had not returned home. They probably knew the mocking and the scorn they would face. So they just made a home there in Bethlehem. After that, they had to go to Egypt for a time. Separated from family and from friends. Taking Mary meant that there would be no traditional wedding, no celebration with family, not able to give Mary the day that every girl dreams of. The Bible just simply tells us in verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife." He just took her. It said, "Mary, the bridal chamber's not ready. I don't have everything like I want. But the angel said, you're my wife." Where was the celebration? The Jewish wedding could go on for days and celebrate for weeks. But Mary missed out on that, and so did Joseph. They would have to put up with the scorn of friends and family. Every eye that looked at them, they wondered what they were thinking, and they could hear the whispers in the corner. If Joseph, this carpenter, had a business or a job in Nazareth, not any longer, he would have to leave. If he was held in high esteem of any sort, now his character was questioned because he had taken him a wife who was an adulteress, as far as the world was concerned. You know, in order to serve the Lord, it takes sacrifice. I'm going to be honest, this has been a tough message for me because I feel terrible for Joseph. My heart breaks over thinking what the Lord asked him to do. If we put ourselves in his shoes, I got to ask the question, would we be willing? I'm so thankful that the Lord sent an angel. Because, boy, it's hard to determine the will of God sometimes, isn't it? The Lord just told him flat out, here's what you need to do, and here's how I'll take care of you. And time again, God sent the angel of the Lord and moved them from place to place. But I feel bad for Joseph. But it seems like he was willing to make the sacrifice. They were charged to take care of the Lord. The gates of hell and every demon in his realm would be out to get them. And yet the Bible so simply says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." He just obeyed. Would to God we could be servants like that. Self-deprecating, living lives of surrender and lives of sacrifice. Who would volunteer for such a life? I want to read you a story in closing this morning. How many of you heard of a missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson? Of course, a great missionary, most famous for Burma and India. He was seeing a girl, or he was writing a young lady by the name of Anne Hasseltine. And he wanted to ask her father for her hand in marriage. And so he had already resolved to be a missionary, and he understood the sufferings and sacrifice that might mean. And he wrote to Mr. Hasseltine and asking for his daughter's hand. Here's what he said. "Listen carefully, this is incredible. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world." How can you ask a father that? "Whether you can consent to see her departure to a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you? For the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God. Can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory, with a crown of righteousness brightened by the acclamations of praise which shall redound to their Savior from heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair?" He asked the man, would you give me your daughter never to see her again, knowing that she might meet a certain violent death? Do you know what Mr. Hasseltine said? He said, yes. They had 7 children before she died, raised on the mission field. That's surrender, and that's sacrifice. But it is no less than what our Savior has done for us when he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the life of Joseph, and Lord, we know very little about him. But we see that he was more concerned about Mary than anybody else. That he was willing to surrender to the will of God, even though it wasn't what his best well-laid plans were. He was willing to live a life of sacrifice to see the glory of the Lord and the will of God accomplished. Father, help us to be servants like that. Help us to follow after Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Father, help us to love you more each and every day. Father, we pray that you bless us in invitation. Speak to our hearts today, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one's looking around. Would we just take a few moments and examine our hearts this morning? If God has spoke to them, would we come to this old-fashioned altar and just lay our burdens down? Ask God to seal it in our hearts. The piano's going to begin to play. If God has spoke, this is your verse. Step out and come. Maybe there's somebody here today say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call out your name. Pastor, I'm not sure if I were to die today. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Joseph sacrificed for sure, but the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed more than anybody else. He gave his life and took upon himself the sins of this world to pay the price for your sin, that if we would just put our faith and trust in him, you can have eternal life. He became the Savior that very moment he died and paid the price for sin. Now all you have to do is call out to him. Trust him today. So one say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know if I've ever done that. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call out your name. Would you slip up your hand? Just slip up your hand. Sing that first verse with me. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live.
Bless you for being here. You may be seated. Pastor McDonald's going to come with some announcements to close our service in prayer. Lord bless you. I want you to meet somebody. We have a few visitors here today. I want you to get around and shake their hand. Letitia is here. She just got back from vacation, but she accepted Christ as her Lord here in church 2 weeks ago after Pastor McDonald preached. And did Paul McPherson deal with her and led her to the Lord? So we're glad for Letitia. You pray for her and encourage her in the Lord. All right. Pastor McDonald.
All right, I've got a few announcements here to give you, so just listen carefully and we'll get through them. First of all, we still need nursery workers for the cantata. Now, the cantata is coming up, it's coming up rolling around this coming weekend in that, so let's sign up, please, if you can volunteer. I think we got only like 3 names or something out there. We do need nursery workers to make this event successful for the Lord. So sign up on the board outside the nursery if you can, please. Also, the deadline for ordering poinsettias. The large were $8, and the small set was $6. The deadline is today. If you could see Ms. Fett with that order, please do so. We were going to be sending out those orders first thing in the morning, so this is the deadline for that. So we'll have this platform all decorated in memory of loved ones here, and it's an awesome time for that. Regarding I believe the pastor has already mentioned the fact that we purchased a new van. You can go out there and quickly take a look at it before it drives away with a whole bunch of kids. And that's what it's used for. Praise God, we're able to have these vehicles, and it's what a blessing it is. So if you want to see, go ahead. It's a beautiful van, and it just pray that God would just use it mightily in the souls of people that it carries. Also, there is leftover cookie dough available, and that stuff is good, okay? Cookie dough, my wife buys way more than we really need, but it's good stuff. You can even eat it raw. I mean, like, it's that good. They literally eat it raw. But if you would like to purchase some, we have some leftover. It's $15 a box. Please see Mrs. Judy Judge regarding that. Also, our bookstore is open. We're going to have that open this morning, and we're going to have it open during the Christmas season. In the old bookstore here that is still in the process of being renovated, we've got that. We have good books. Let me tell you something. I was in a bookstore yesterday in Brantford, all right, in a bookstore in Brantford, and right out in the front, they have all these books they're trying to push and stuff, and one of them had a four-letter word on the cover of it, and it just the part of the one letter was just covered, so you couldn't really see. It was kind of a play on words. So naturally, I said, oh, really? And there's a whole stack of them. They were brand new. And what they were is like picture books for kids. And each page had a story in it. And each one of them had that four-letter word in it without covering it up. I mean, and it was a word that if I used in school, I would have been expelled back in my day. And they're out there. And they're targeting for young children. And they're, as I said, they're right at the shelf level. And there was a sequel to it. And I looked at it. I was appalled. And I just had a double take. And I'm thinking, what has happened to our world? That I mean, we couldn't even use them in school, and people get all upset with the manners of our kids today, and yet we allow this to be sold. So there's a particular bookstore in town here. I'm going to check and see if that's the case there, because I think my wife got all upset when I told her about it. We're gonna speak up. You know, it's your society, isn't it? Speak up. You got a point. I mean, if they're four-letter, I mean, this is disgusting. But anyway, I digress. The reason I'm saying that is we have good books. That's what we're trying to do with our library, our bookstore, to get good books for you, for your family that you can trust. And we're working hard on that. So please support that. It's good for you and as well as everyone else. Regarding bus families, we have a bus family Christmas coming up in January the 17th. And that's about 3 weeks after Christmas. So after everything's settled and everything else, we have a special program planned on a Saturday at lunchtime, a good big dinner and that for our bus families. And if you'd like to be a part of it, please do so. Right outside the door here, to my left here, if you go right out there and right across from the ladies' choir room, you'll see there's a bulletin board on the wall. And on that wall, there are cards with bus families' names, and it gives you some details about who they are, who their children are, how many they are, or their ages and stuff. And there's two of them for each family. You just take the top one, if you would, if you want to really contribute and help and make somebody and give them a special holiday season, a Christmas season. What you could do is just pull that off and take that with you, and you can go shop for the family. Now, you can buy individual gifts because you'll have the details of the family, the ages and everything. Or you can just buy, if you want to, a gift for the entire family, something you will know something about the family, which you want to get for them. So just take that top one off, and there's one right underneath that's identical to it. Just put your name on it, though. And that way we know that you're responsible for that family. You're going to look after them. Because what we want to do is we want to get all those names off that board into your pockets, and you go out and do some shopping, and we'll certainly take on a family, and we'll do some shopping. And on January the 17th, we will put on a special event, a Christmas dinner for the families. And what it will do is it enables us to connect our church family with our bus families and let them know that we care and we love them. It's another opportunity to give. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please take something off that board, some family off that board. And also, if you'd like to volunteer for that day, for that luncheon, please do so. It's January the 17th. This will be a great event for that as well. I'm thinking we just got about all the announcements. There's many more in your bulletin, of course, to read, but those ones I want to draw to your attention. Shall we pray? We'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you again for the preaching of your word. And Lord, we thank you so much for that story of Joseph, of Mary, and realizing that these were real people, Lord. They went through and they had the same fears and concerns and doubts and wonders as we do today in our own lives. And yet, Lord, you took them just simply because they were humble servants to you. They had that heart to be pliable Father, help us also to be pliable to your will. Whatever you would have us to do, Lord, and especially with the carrying of the gospel. Jesus Christ was carried by Mary, and in a special way we can also carry Jesus Christ through his gospel message to other people. Father, help us to be faithful to you in this matter. Bless us now as we go home, and Father, return us again safely tonight, that we may praise you once again in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go.